and all these sorts. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have Chuck and Jill Hardy with us and their children today. They've been gone for a couple years now. Now, where were you at? Virginia. And they come back looking fit and ready to go. And it's just good to worship with you today and the family. I'm going to go over and he's going to feed me a steak, I'm sure, at his house. They bought a place out in the country and he's going to get some. Is this the first time you live in the country? Yeah. Well, I just left the country and it's fine. All the ticks and chiggers come with it. How many knows what I'm talking about? All the bugs and snakes and scorpions and things, you know, come with it. So, but it's sure good to have you home. Good to see Tim and Pam and Jennifer today. And good to have a good friend, first time friend, Delbert, here today with us. And we're glad you're here. And let's study the Word for a little bit. What do you say? Now, last week we talked about living in the blessing. And I want to just recap. This will be the final message on this part. And next week we have a guest speaker coming in. All the way from Shawnee. We'll try to pay her expenses. No, it's just a privilege for her. But you know what? Miss Helen's going to bring the word next week. Isn't that something? I think we ought to have Dorothy sing again. And we'll have Helen preach. And then we'll have all the seniors take the offering.
All right.
And we'll just have a senior week. Wouldn't that be good? So if you want to take offering and you're over 60, let me know. I remember one time when we were in Hillcrest, where I kind of grew up and put my teeth in ministry. We used to have a lady, and her name was Sister Crook, and her isn't that a something for a Christian? We're the Crook family. But anyway, he was a pastor, and his mission, his purpose was literally pastoring broken churches. And I'd never known a man that way, but he said, I look back over my life period, and God would always send us to a broken church and would restore it and get it healed and healthy, and then somebody would come in and take over. And I thought, wow, what a ministry, you know, to have that. But Sister Crook, her job in their later years after they quit pastoring was to take the flower fund offering. And what it was is we'd take up a pocket change, and so she would come around to Sunday school classes, and she had her little bow, and every Sunday, and she'd go look at you, and you know, and stand in front of you with her little bow, and if you didn't give, she'd go. just say it. And so that reminded me of her when I was talking about the seniors taking the offering and things. And so one Wednesday night or Sunday night, whenever it was, I did an offering or a message, and I talked about her and her flower fund wing on her mansion. Because I had figured up, and it's like probably in a year she would walk like 5 miles, because we had like a 33,000 square foot church, and so she'd walk all these quarters. I thought in a year's time, you know, just I walked it off one day, probably walked close to 5 miles just walking, you know. And I said, so she'll have a flower fund wing. So never underestimate what it is to walk in the blessings. Yesterday we came up here and we walked in the blessing and we tore out concrete. In fact, Charles and Donnie and Mark, and who else is here that helped yesterday? Bill, Cliff, yeah, Cliff. Spencer is, he went from gunner number one to gunner number, I mean gunner number two to gunner number one. You ever seen these big jackhammers? He ran one almost the whole time he was here. Get up and show him your muscles. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, it was hot out there, but we had fun. We had people come by literally, stopped in the street and said, would you like some ice cream? And we're like, well, we're kind of worried. No, it's free, and we got all kinds of ice cream. And they just started unloading boxes of ice cream and heaped us up with boxes of ice cream. Yeah, we had people bring us Gatorade and watermelon. We had people bring us steak sandwich supremes and french fries. We had so much food we had to turn it away. Miss Delma came out with a big pole of pizzas and said, here we go. And we said, you're too late. We're too blessed. Go. Stay the blessing, Lord. We were blessed. This morning, we got here about, it was a little before 8, and Dennis and I were looking at that big pile of rock out there, and we thought, what are we going to do with this? standing in the parking lot, and all of a sudden this dually truck come around the corner, and this guy's got oxygen on, and he's wearing it, and he's driving this big truck. He said, "What are you going to do with those rocks?" And I said, "Boy, we're going to give them away." He said, "Can I have all of them?" Let me pray about it. Yes! And Dennis said, "Man, we were just standing here thinking, how are we going to get rid of this? And blessings just pouring in. Pouring in." I'll tell you, we're walking in blessings. You know, but here's what. Remember what Abraham did last week? Abraham said, "The Lord spoke." How many knows God's still speaking? Are you listening? Because God's still speaking. I'm telling you, God is still prompting. And let me help some of you that say, "Well, you know, I don't know about this God speaking thing." Sometimes you get promptings. You know, have you ever said, "I just feel like I need to"? That may be a prompting from the Lord. And you may not even be that close to the Lord. But if you get these promptings, and you can measure it if you know Scripture against Scripture. Is it biblical? Is it a class-like principle? But here's the thing. Those promptings you get is how God talks to us. And so if you feel like, sometimes you say, I kind of feel like. Maybe that's a prompting for the Lord. And here's what will happen. If you'll stop and begin to listen, you'll begin to recognize His voice when He's speaking and when he's trying to talk to you. So Abraham, it said he spoke to the Abraham. And then the second thing, remember, it was he was listening. It's real important. You got to listen. My sheep hear my voice and none of them they'll not hear. And so he was listening. And so it's really important to listen when God speaks. And so he took off. The Bible said he departed and came out of his country and went to a strange land by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. And then remember the third thing he did? He built an altar when he got there. He built an altar when he got there. Now, it's interesting, when the famine came and when he was headed into Egypt, he didn't build an altar and he got his eyes off God and he got his eyes on his good-looking wife and said, "You know what? When we go down to Egypt, they're going to see you and you're so good-looking that, you know what? They're going to want you. They're going to kill me because I'm your husband. Would you tell them I'm your brother?" And that's what we do. We get in the carnal when we don't keep our altar built before God. I mean, notice that. We get that because the carnal side of you and me is always speaking. I guarantee you that. It's always, it's that war, those members that Paul talked about, always warring against one another. And it's always present, but we combat that with an altar that we build before God. And that's how he walked in the blessing. Now remember what I told you last week? I said, here's why we missed the blessing, because I could have entitled this message series, "Walking in the Will of God." But when we think about walking in the will, we think about work, don't we? And let me tell you something. We miss blessing because we look at blessing and we think it's work. See, like yesterday when we came out here and was jackhammering that concrete and throwing it up in the bucket and things, it felt like work, didn't it? You know, I told Bill, I said, "You look like Mother Mary." He's sitting there with a red hanky wrapped around his head, you know, and cool water on it. And they said, "Really?" And I said, "No, not really." But, you know, we were doing whatever we could. We had our old hats on or, you know, and sun lotion and all that stuff on. And so we were doing what we could. But I'm telling you, that is a blessing. That's recorded in the Book of Life. And someday that will go through the fire because we were out. This isn't our house. This is God's house. You know, some of you that keep these lawns mowed and looking beautiful, that's all recorded. Every mile, every inch you've driven for God or weed eaten, that's all recorded. That's blessing. But sometimes it comes in the form of work. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, they missed the blessing that God was trying to command on them. How many knows, we all used to sing a song about, remember those songs that says, "I'm in a place of commanded blessing"? Remember that? And we used to talk, well, that is what God literally does today. He puts us in a place of commanded blessing. And it's important for us to see things the way God sees things. Because if we don't, we're going to walk in carnal. And we're going to look at a blessing God's trying to heap upon us. And we'll look at it as work or a big challenge or something too big or too great for us to handle or take on. And we'll miss the blessing. That's what's happened to the children of Israel in this story. It says in Numbers 13 and 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying..." Now you notice the first thing in commanded blessing here and walking in the blessing is the Lord is speaking again. It's real important that you and I listen to the Lord and begin to say, "This is God." Jan and I decided it was God's will for us to move back to the city, and so we put our house on the market 7 days and it sold. Now you say, well, I put my house on the market and it didn't sell for a long time. Maybe your other house wasn't ready yet. The thing is not, did you sell it in 7 days or 10 days or 3 months? The thing is it God's will for you to sell and move? Was it God's will for you to come back to Oklahoma? You know. Some people come there. I've pastored college kids going to different colleges around. They'll come here and stay, and they call this their wilderness time in Oklahoma. Because, you know, we're country, and we're not like... We've been to New York. I took Jenna to New York for her 50th birthday, and we spent a few days in Times Square. Talk about country coming to the city. It is not like this. But we liked it. Because this is we're people... persons, you know, we just like watching the people and seeing the different shops and tasting the different foods, and it was good. It's different, but we liked it. And right in the midst of Times Square, guess what I saw? A church. God had a church right there in Times Square. I didn't get to visit because of the times we were there, but He had a church right there in Times Square, loving those people. And somebody, God called out one day and said, I want you to plant one right here. It was the will of God. It was the will of God. And so he's walking. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan. Now listen to this, and here's the commanded blessing, which I am giving to the children of Israel. I can tell you this much about God. If you serve God, there's a commanded blessing that he's wanting to give to you. But you got to learn how to look at it and recognize it. He said, I'm giving it to you. How many says if God said to me, well, I'm going to give you a blessing, how many say, I'm ready to receive? You're only ready to receive if you see it as a blessing and not work and not bigger than you. And what if it don't work and can't comprehend getting past the risk? I'm not sure why God always puts, or not always, but a lot of times puts risk with blessing. You ever notice that? He always puts risk with blessing. And it looks like work. When Jesus saw the cross, and he knew, and he had preached all this time walking with his disciples, I'm going to the cross. But remember what happened? When it got right up to the time, he's on his face in the garden, and his sweat is like great drops of blood. And all of a sudden, he's having that human moment, if you will, of I know what I'm going to have to give up here. What it's going to cost. I'm taking on the sin of the world. And all of a sudden, what he'd been preaching and confident and knowing it's God's will, it became work and labor and effort and strain and stress to him. And so he poured that out on the altar. That's where you make the distinguishing. Is this God or is it me? You lay it on the altar. And he said, Lord, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. So there's risk in it. If there's any other way, I'd rather not do this. But if not, and that's where we find the will of God, is at the altar of God. So it's important to make an altar of God. Some of you young people, make it a habit early to find you an altar, make an altar before the Lord. Because that's where you'll find peace. How many of you ever went to the altar before, and you got this crisis, this problem you're facing, and all of a sudden you're laboring for a while at the altar, and then all of a sudden you get up, and everything's different. Nothing's changed in the circumstances and situation, but everything's different. Do you know what I'm talking about? You've got the peace of God now. You've got the assurance of God now, that everything is going to, it's just different. I don't know how to explain that if you haven't walked in it, but if you've ever got peace at an altar and nothing changed but everything changed, that's what I'm talking about. Just like when God said, send them in, I'm giving them a land. So we have to see it like God sees it. And sometimes the blessing comes in disguise in work. See, that's why some people don't want to mow or tear out concrete or do things for Jesus in His house. They don't want to give sacrificially because they see it as a sacrifice in work and not a blessing. And then they miss the blessing. They miss the blessing. Listen, I can tell you this. You've never given sacrificially, and whether it's with your physical labor like we did yesterday, your finances, your time, or whatever it may be, that it's not recorded and blessing has come. If you give it with the right attitude and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's just there. That's the principle of God. And so it says, I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. These are responsible people, whether they are take responsibility or not. God has put them in authority. These are leaders. So Moses sent them from the wilderness Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And it lists all of these men. And then in verse 18 he says, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests and there are, or not. And it's okay to be real, isn't it? We live in a real world, and to assess your situation, the blessing that God's trying to give you, you know, count the cost, it says, or you'll fail. But here's what he said, and they're not listening. They're not listening. When God is commanding blessing on you, and you're going to walk in this blessing, and you look at it, and it looks like work, it looks like a problem, it looks like danger, it looks like whatever it may look like. Here's what I want you to know. He said, be of good courage. Have you ever noticed if you're going to do anything big, you got to be of good courage? If you're going to do anything large, you got to be of good courage. You got to step out and take risk. I invited Delbert. You know, he works in construction and really building. He can build just about anything. He showed me a house that he's constructed up there. You know, added rooms, big mansion, really. And he's worked. And so I invited him to go to Guatemala. And you know what Delbert's first response was? Do they have gorillas up there? Some smarty said, you should have said, no, they're little bitty monkeys is all they got up there. But you know what? That is some of the first thought. When we went for our first trip to Guatemala, when we went, Mark got online and he said, you know, it says this is a crime rate and this is what happens sometime. And, you know, and there's risk, isn't there? There's risk. How many knows there's risk here? I mean, those, we got lunatics among us. Maybe you hope not in the church, but you know what I'm saying? In our communities, things happen. There's risk. But you can't live in fear. Whatever you're doing, be of good courage. Listen, if I'm going to get mugged, I'd just seem to do it in some foreign country, pouring my heart out for Jesus. How about you? Yeah. Jana, you know, God will supply her a better looking husband that makes more money. God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So whatever the need is, you know, He'll supply your need. And so there's risk involved. You know, there's risk involved. And so we just go and do it. And He says, be of good courage. If you want to walk in blessing, you need to be of good courage. And now, here's what I want you to know. If you're going to live in be of good courage, here's what you got to do. You got to see a problem as an opportunity. Yeah. Just do this for a while. In the next month or so, check every time you see something, a crisis or a problem come up. Just do this for a while. Mark down, write down somewhere your first initial response. How many knows if you're in leadership position, you're there because of problems. They need somebody to take care of problems. You know, you were highly ranked in the Air Force, I remember when you were talking about first shirt, you know, which means you're in charge of problems. Yeah. And it doesn't matter, military, you know, civil, banking, whatever you're doing, teaching, you're just, you know, when they send a classroom of kids in there, you're in charge of problems, aren't you?
Yeah.
In that room. Yeah. Yeah. But here's what you got to look at. You know, if there were no problems, I wouldn't have a job. And so every problem to a leader should be opportunity. And the better you handle problems, how many knows the better opportunities you're going to have? And so they go and they see these big people. You know what they said in this story? And here's what the devil, listen, when you're trying to look at when you're looking at a problem, it's a blessing, but we're seeing it, you can see it either as a blessing that God has said it was, or we can see it as a problem. It all depends on how your heart is and if you've built that altar and you're saved before God. And here's why. That's why people in real estate get rich, because they can go by an old dilapidated place and look at it and say, wow, what potential. What opportunity. And then some of you drive by and say, what a dump, and just drive right on by. And the people that look at that and say, what an opportunity to just love people like you. You that just drive on by and say, what a dump. And they say, hallelujah, the competition has just got less. They can look, and that's what Jesus did with broken lives, broken hearts. He looked at us and he said, what potential they have. What potential. And he brings us into the kingdom. Aren't you glad he looked at you and said, what potential? Listen, are you looking at problems as an opportunity? Are you seeing the potential and what it could be? Adam said, you know, Pastor, I still use that phrase you said the other day, with every pit, there's a purpose. How many knows that is a good phrase? Every pit, there's a purpose. What pit are you going through? And what's the now, here's what I've learned. When we get in the pit, the best question to ask is not what. You know, what is this for? And what is it? You know, is this, the best question is what, not why. You know, because we may never figure out the why. You know, but we always want to know, well, why, Lord? Well, why? Well, but the best thing says is, you know, what purpose do you have in this pit? When he sent Joseph off to Egypt, remember he had a purpose, didn't he? He said, I'll let you manage a little bitty farm, Potiphar's house, and then I'll put you in a prison complex, and then I'll put you over the entire Egypt. You know, but he started here. He had a purpose in his pit. Whatever pit you're going through, there's a purpose. You'll miss it if you cry. You'll find it if you praise. Everybody say, praise in the pit.
Praise.
Next time you got a friend and they're just telling you about their pit, say, ooh, lucky you, just praising the pit. And then you can follow up and say, here's why, because if you praise in the pit, you're going to find the purpose.
Amen.
Say that twice. You praise the pit, you're going to, yeah. They saw giants. And it said in the Bible, when they came back and gave their bad report, he said the 10 spies, and by the way, there's 10 spies that is negative. The Bible calls it a bad report. When you and I look at the blessings of God and we talk negative about it, I mean, that's a bad report. When we look at work, when we look at a challenge and God's saying, take that mountain, and we talk negative about it, how many knows we are given a bad report? We're given a bad report. And here's what I believe. Just knowing the human nature of people, here's what I believe. I believe that there was one or two out of the 10 that probably was more afraid than the others, and they vocalized it. Have you ever been around anybody that was afraid and you didn't know what they were afraid of, and all of a sudden, but it jumped on you? It's like, what? Have you ever been driving down the road with your spouse and go, I did that the other day. I forgot something at the house, and Jenna went, what? I said, I forgot something. She said, don't ever do that again. It just jumped on her, that fear, you know, and she's like, she thought somebody's going to hit us or something, and she was driving, and I forgot my briefcase, and it just, because I don't go anywhere without, I call it my man purse, you know, it's just, it's got numbers and names and stuff in it that I have to have. And have you ever done that? That's how quick it transfers, and it's just, boom, and it's there. It transfers. I think there was one person in, or two maybe, in there that was just deathly afraid when they saw these big people, they call them, and all of a sudden it transferred to one of them. And now there's two that's looking at the glory and the blessings of God. And now there's two that's deathly afraid. And all of a sudden the two start talking, and now there's three. And the three start talking, and the ones that over here was in the middle, you know, they're looking. They should have been hanging around Joshua and Caleb. Listen, if you want to walk in blessing, you need to hang around Joshua's and Caleb's. People that have the Bible said it was a different spirit. A different spirit. Because I'm telling you, people's spirit will jump off on you. It will. If you hang around somebody that's always complaining about everything, before you know it, you'll just, you complaints will pop up in your, you know, your problems will pop up in your mind. And then some people, is even worse, some people, you tell them your problems, they'll say, oh, that's nothing. And then they'll give you their list and think, wow. And then you'll think, well, that's bad. They got bad. That's probably where I'm headed. I mean, it just progresses. Or you can hang around people like Joshua and Caleb, and your faith just grows. You just believe in the blessings and the goodness of God. We was talking about the blessings and how that rock was, God's going to come get the rock and haul it off. And Cindy said, oh yeah? So we took our car in this week. And so we thought, you know, it's going to cost $600. And said, man, that was about all we had in our budget. And it said, what are we going to do? And Adam said, take it in. God will meet the need. Thank goodness for husbands. Says, let's go forward. God will meet the need, honey. They said, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe you need to get out and get yourself a job. Yeah. She went to Walmart. Blah, 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 you know, whatever. Guess what? She said, guess what? We got the call. Said, the car's ready. And I'm like, oh, man. And said, oh, but we got good news. He said, it's only $150. I'm used to the other way. Oh, Mr. Elder, it'll be $150. Well, here's your bill, $600. You know, that's the way most mechanics work. If you figured that out, well, you know, that was before tax and labor, and, you know. And so, but you know, God, are you expecting blessing? Are you expecting God to meet the need? And here's what the devil uses. Whenever we don't see things and we're not of good courage, here's what happens. Exaggeration begins to come. And they said, the 10 that was looking at the negative, they said this, they said, you know, in our sight, compared to them, we are like grasshoppers. That would mean, you know, we're about big as a thumb compared to them. How many of you ever just looked at a grasshopper? You know, just get on your arm, you go flick. That's how big they're saying they were. How many knows? We have never found skeletal remains of people that big. I think we would have found one, don't you, Jerry, by now? But that's what they were focused on. Listen, people that don't walk in the blessings, people that walk in fear, that's what they do. They look at a situation, it's bigger than them. And by the way, the Canaanites and all these people, they are bigger than them. But Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? They will be as bread to us because God's given us the land. And that's what you got to know. When you find the mind of God, you just got to know that they'll become bread to you because God has said. How many knows you and God are a majority? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So finding the mind of God is where it's at. You got to find the mind of God and say, I'm going to go for it in Jesus' name because whatever it is, it's going to become bread to me because God is giving it to me. God is giving it to me. Now, very interesting. 12 people went. 12 people saw the very same thing. They saw the same thing. They saw the same thing. How many knows most of us here all live in Oklahoma? How many knows rent is pretty comparable? Automobiles that we buy is pretty comparable. We're all seeing the same thing. How many think what I see in Oklahoma is just blessing? Some of you don't know, well, what part of town you live in. It's funny because we visited this little shop over in our part of town where we moved, and our neighborhood's a little neighborhood. And this lady over in that area, and there are some big homes over there, some gated communities. She said to us, Jana was buying some little canister things, and she said, you know, and I don't know what brought this up, but I guess Jana told her it's a new house we'd bought over there. And she said, in our area, this is the highest, income, you know, and for the area, anywhere in Oklahoma, even Edmond. I said, well, it may change now because I moved in the neighborhood. But you know what? I don't own one of those mansions like they do, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And if God wants to move you in an area even, where they you know, those people make more money than anybody in the state, God can do that. You know, now our home is not near like that. You'll see when you come over. But I'm just saying, you know, God can move you from here to here if you're looking for blessing. God can move you from here to here, but you got to look at problems the way God looks at problems, and challenges the way God looks at challenges. And you got to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, "We are well able because of who I belong to, not because of me, but who I belong to." You got to get out of this thing that I can't, and I probably won't, and nothing's ever good that's happened to me. Tim and Tim came in today, and York. York had a party a while back, and I heard this, and I said, "I heard something on you." Guess what? He won a brand new truck. Wow. What was it? F-150. Wow. Here's the keys.
Wow.
That's a blessing, isn't it? You know what my first thoughts was, Tim, when I heard you won that truck? All the trips that nobody saw when you come to Ground Zero in your little truck. Hauling stuff back and forth. In and out. I mean, I can't tell you all the days. I just personally saw him hauling stuff in, hauling stuff out. And I remember who told me that he won a truck. I said, "You know, it couldn't have happened to a better person." But here's what most of us say. "Oh, I never want a new truck. I never win. Nothing." Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you never win nothing. I'm not looking for gimmies, but I'm looking for blessing. I'm looking for blessing.
Amen.
You know, we're having a little campaign for renovation. And right after I committed to giving, God brought the money in that same month. And I was able to write a check. Same month. But I had to step out first. I had to step out first. You just got to step out and say, "You know what? If it's what God wants me to do, even if it's bigger, I can do that. Even if where God's want me to go, if I'm afraid, I can go there because God said go." We're going to go back to Guatemala and help Pastor Elmer build a church. Because we can. We can go where God said we can go. And so we're going to go back and help build a church. What has God told you? And you think, you know, it looks like work. Sometimes the blessing does look like work. But guess what? When Abraham heard God, and he departed. This is where he went. Canaan. Same place he went. And remember what he said? There was the Canaanites were there then. And sometimes when God tells you to go from here to there, there's going to be the Canaanites you've got to deal with. But deal with the Canaanites because the blessing's worth it. Deal with the Canaanites because the blessings are worth it. Walk in blessing. Listen intently with your inner ear, the heart, and hear God, and build yourself an altar so you can find assurance for God, and then get up and go in Jesus' name and possess the land. I'd like to see a church where people just walk in commanded blessing because they've been listening and hearing the voice of God. And they see people come in with all kinds of problems and cares, and they say, "I wish I was like you." Philip said the other day, he said, "Sometimes people might look at me or you and think, I wish I was like that. You know, got a new house and got all this and that." I mean, all that stuff. And that comes sometimes with blessing. But you know what? We've got it here. We've got it here. And we need to get to a place where we're not just living for us. We're living to give away. So we're going to Guatemala to bless, to give away, to pour out. And so that's where a place of commanded blessing is. Get to a place where you can be like Abraham when he was in the land of Canaan. He looks over and he says, "Lot, just take your pick. Prefer your brother. Just take your pick. Where would you like to camp out at?" And Lot looks around and he says, "That really lush green valley over there is where I want." Abraham said, "No problem. Take that one." You ever try to buy something and somebody say, "Well, you know, it's I think it's maybe already sold. You better hurry. That never entices me anymore. Because I think if it's for me, God will hold it. And if it's not for me, He'll let it go. When we first looked at the house we're in, you know, we said, well, you know, we just don't know. We loved the house, and it was we loved it more than any house we looked at. But we thought, well, we just don't know. And we got a call about a month later, and it said, the builder said, you know what? He's just desperate to sell, and he'll knock $15,000 off the price. Brand new house. I said, now we might need to go look again. The builder told me, he said, you know, you can... He said, I'll tell you, he said, I can't build another one this cheap. He said, I can build another one just like it. I built some like it, but I can't. He said, but, you know, it's just been on the market, and I'm tired of paying it, and if you can close in 30 days, you can have it for this. I said, we can close in 30 days. He said, literally, after we got close, he said, I had you on the phone, and another person had just called wanting the same thing for the same deal. He said, the only difference was you could go ahead and make the deal, and they had to sell something before they could buy it. He said, so I chose you. And I didn't tell him. I thought, no, you didn't. Jesus chose me. And them have been good Christian people on the other end of the line that he says, no, I don't have this one for you. I got one better for you. You know. But I'm just saying, don't get in a hurry. Don't worry about it. But when God shows you a blessing, it may look like work. Maybe a jackhammer involved and some sweat. Two or three times I saw Mark over in the chair yesterday just going, whew. I thought, bless him, Lord. Don't let us lose him. He'd fought the sweat and get up and here he'd go again, you know, living in the blessing. But I'd rather dry concrete, you know, digging concrete out for Jesus than out doing something for the world. Walking in the blessing. Is that where you are? That's where you're commanded to be if you belong to Jesus Christ. But you got to listen and you got to see it the way God says you need to see it. I'm going to give you this. Doesn't matter how big it is. Say, then I am going after that in the name of Jesus. Think bigger. Pray bigger. Expect bigger in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for encouraging us. There's a commanded blessing that you want us to walk in. There's a place, Lord, that you'll reveal to each of us in different stages of our lives. And it may look like work, but I pray today for our heart and our discernment and our awareness of the presence and the voice of God, that it would continue to grow as we continue to read and study and hide your word in our heart. Train us, Lord. Train us, Holy Spirit, to the voice of the Father. Help us to be so intimate with Him that we'll know this is God and I am pursuing in Jesus' name. We may have the garden experience where we have to fall on our face and cry out in agony and spend time in toiling before the Lord. And that's okay. That's part of the process. But help us, God, to recognize Your voice and to pray through these things. So we can not only be blessed, but we can be a blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, right now I pray over this congregation. Lord, and if there's some in here today in this building saying, you know what, there's a hurdle in my life. Or maybe you've even shown them that it is a blessing. This hurdle is a blessing. Help them today. With a fresh new anointing and a fresh gift of faith, a fresh touch from the Father to get up boldly and take possession of the blessing. Just give them assurance today that you'll be with them in the battle, that you'll go before them and you'll make their enemy their bread. In the name of Jesus. For For those that are walking in blessing right now and know it and feel and can relate to this message, help them to build an altar and keep their altar ever before them so they can continually walk in blessing and be light and salt for a lost and dying world. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I wrote this down a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago even. But this is really, I don't even know who's written the piece. It was up at college, but it says, "Watch your thoughts. They become words." Jesus said, "From the abundance of the heart."